Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 17, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven, that spiritual food that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's start at corrected translation, verse 1. And in verse 1, the Apostle Paul is addressing loser believers in Corinth. There were a lot of those. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative "may" here says, no, we don't. But your critical mental attitude toward us says we do. Then in verse 2, he addresses the winner believers. You, winner believers, are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone. Verse 3. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ, by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, That is being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Grace, perspicacity. Absolutely not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human hearts. And that we stop to take a look. The Bible has a lot to say about your heart. Not about this thing that pumps. The Bible says almost nothing about that. But the Bible has a lot to say about your heart. And your heart that counts with God is up here. The Hebrew word for heart is lev. The Greek word for heart is cardia. These words are very rarely used in the Bible for the physiological heart, the pump in your chest. The biblical words for heart are almost always used for the right lobe of the soul. The usage of the words for heart are based on analogy. Just as the physical heart is the pump that circulates blood throughout the body and thereby supports physical life, so the right lobe of the soul circulates the Word of God, supporting the spiritual life of the believer. Blood cannot support physical life unless it keeps circulating. Likewise, Bible doctrine circulating in the soul as the result of consistently and faithfully getting metabolized doctrine in your heart supports your spiritual life. When Bible doctrine reaches the heart, Bible doctrine is converted into spiritual energy, resulting in divine viewpoint thinking, the development of God's problem-solving devices in your heart, the spiritual momentum for living the spiritual life and advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. No one can grow spiritually apart from consistently and faithfully getting metabolized doctrine into your heart. In fact, the heart is the target for the Word of God. You have here, you have in your lap, a Bible. I have three different Bibles up here. This is the King James Version. This is NASB. This is NIV. Why do I have three of them? Well, they're all translations, and I don't even study from any of those. I study from the original autographs. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. I do all my study from the original autographs. That is what is God-breathed. That is what is inspired. All of these are translations, and they have strengths and they have weaknesses, but none of those are the God-breathed scriptures. Now, you have a Bible in your lap. You assemble in this local church so that the pastor teacher, with the gift of pastor teacher, can prepare you and equip you for the spiritual life so that you can advance to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum, so that you can have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So you assemble consistently and faithfully. My job is to explain to you what those translations you have in your lap really are saying, so that you can grow. So the target of the heart, the target for Bible doctrine is the heart of the soul. The doctrine is actually understood in the mind, or the left lobe of the soul, the nous in the Greek, and then when you believe it, it enters into the cardia, the right lobe of the soul, where it actually is circulated and utilized. The justice of God always bases any function of justice on His knowledge of the situation. And therefore, He constantly searches your heart. Jeremiah 17:10, I, Jehovah, search the heart. What is He searching the heart for? To see how much of the Word of God you have in your heart. And test the emotions. Why is He testing the emotions? To see if they are subordinate to the truth of the Word of God and not in emotional revolt of the soul. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. O Lord of the armies, you who have tested the righteous, who sees the emotions and the heart. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, emphasizing sacred honor, virtue, integrity, because I have trusted in the Lord and I do not slide into reversionism. Examine me, O Lord. Test my emotions. Make sure they're subordinate to the truth of your word in my heart and my heart. In Scripture, the heart is used for the place of thinking. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his outward appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. Who is he talking about? Eliab, David's older brother. He was in the military. He was tall, dark, and handsome. And he was a reversionist. And Samuel thought Eliab would be the right one. God says no. He says, do not look on his outward appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. What you really are is in here. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The Lord is constantly examining your heart to see how much of the Word of God is there in your heart, and to see if virtue love has been brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. To see if you do have personal love for God the Father. To see if you do have impersonal love for all. To see if you do have occupation with Jesus Christ. Having a joyful heart means you share God's happiness and have occupation with Jesus Christ. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 15, verses 13 to 15. The continual feast of Proverbs 15:15 is consistent and faithful feeding on the spiritual food of God's Word. The loser believer, however, is arrogant in his heart, while the winner believer has humility in his heart. Proverbs 18:12. Arrogant thinking in the heart is the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Humility, on the other hand, is teachability and authority orientation, which enables you to live the spiritual life and acquire wisdom, discernment. Proverbs 18:15. The thinking in the heart of a child is often foolishness. Proverbs 22:15. And therefore, the Word of God says, discipline is in order. What you really are is not what you appear on the surface. It is what you are in your heart. Proverbs 27:19. So there is a principle. The Bible is like a mirror. When you look into the mirror of the Word of God, you see yourself for what you really are. That's really great. Now, you look at a mirror at your home, you don't necessarily see what you really are, except that when you wake up in the morning, you scare yourself. That's about all. But you're looking on the outside. But the mirror of the Word of God enables you to look at what you really are on the inside, in your soul. There are many passages that have a lot to say about the heart. Let's take a look at some of them. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. We're already in 2 Corinthians 3, so you don't have to go that far. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 11 and 12. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 and 12. He starts out, he says, our mouth. Now, who is our? Well, the Apostle Paul, one of them, but also pastor-teacher Timothy, pastor-teacher Titus. Our mouth has spoken freely to you the teaching of the Word of God. O Corinthians, our heart is opened wide. Now, the Apostle Paul was probably the greatest believer of all time, along with maybe Moses. He had more of the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart than anybody. And his heart was open wide, and he was communicating the absolute truth of God's Word to the Corinthians. Not only Paul, but the pastor-teacher Timothy, pastor-teacher Titus, also had maximum amount of the Word of God in their heart. Their hearts were open wide. They were fulfilling Ephesians 4:11 to 16. God has given some men the gift of pastor-teacher for the purpose of preparing you, equipping you for the production of the ministry, to advance to spiritual maturity, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So he says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide, full of the truth of God's Word, and we have been communicating that to you so that you can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then he says, you Corinthians are not restrained by us. We're not the problem. Now, it's always easy to point your finger, and why not point at the pastor? He's a good one to pick on. Or the apostle. It's your fault, Paul. It's your fault, Timothy. It's your fault, Titus. And Paul says, well, you are not restrained by us. You're being restrained, but not by us. But you are restrained by your own emotions. They are an emotional revolt of the soul. They're operating by their emotions. They're not operating by the truth of the Word of God. Paul says, me and Timothy and Titus, we're not the problem. You Corinthians are the problem. You're out of fellowship with God. You're in reversionism. All different kinds of reversionism. You're in Satan's cosmic system. You're operating under emotional revolt of the soul. The problem is with you. That's one of the passages. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. These are all great passages that deal with the heart, the heart that counts, not your pump, but the heart up here. In Ephesians 1, verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart. Now that tells you something about this right lobe of the soul. There are eyes in the right lobe of the soul. The eyes in your heart are infinitely more important than these physical eyes. Your physical eyes are a non-issue. But the eyes of your heart, that is what really counts. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now remember, the Bible is a mirror that enables each one of you to look at yourself and see what you really are. This is one of those great verses that teaches that. For the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, is alive and powerful. There are millions and millions of books in libraries. They're dead. The one you have in your lap is alive. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Machaira. That was the super weapon of the ancient world that conquered the Roman Empire. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. The Word of God pierces. So as you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church, and the pastor teacher is communicating the logos of the Word of God. You're filled with the Spirit, and then the teaching ministry of the Spirit takes that logos, communication of the logos, and teaches your human spirit. So the logos becomes pneumaticos. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Spiritual phenomenon, truth, that now you comprehend. Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you're saying. Now your volition goes into operation. You're free to believe it or free to reject. If you're rejected, there's no spiritual benefit. But if you believe it, it goes into your heart and becomes doctrine. Now, when you're assembling in a sound Bible teaching church, let's say none of you are. Let me ask this. Don't raise your hand. Are any of you perfect? If you are, stand up. Don't stand up. None of us are perfect. And that means we all are in the process of growing spiritually. And the Word of God, there will be times when there will be wrong thinking in your heart. And the Word of God, as is taught, God the Holy Spirit takes that Word of God and just like a sword goes right into your heart and pierces you. Not fun. It's not the pastor trying to get you. I'm not trying to get anybody. I'm just here to teach the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit will take that Word of God and pierce. Look what it says here. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, any Machaira. The Word of God piercing. As far as the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is able to judge, to be a critic of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is able to judge or be a critic of the thoughts and intentions of your heart, the motivations. The Word of God, it's a mirror that is able to judge your thoughts and your motivations in your heart. Powerful. Turn back to Hebrews 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, royal family of God, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. Turn over to James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James 3, verse 14. James 3, 14. But if you have bitter jealousy, this mental attitude sin, in fact, it's one of the strongest of all the mental attitude sins. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, stop being arrogant and so lie against the truth. Turn over to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter 3:15, but set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with grace orientation, gentleness is grace orientation, and reverence, occupation with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This is addressed to the church at Thyatira. Revelation 2, starting at verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneo. We get pornography from it. And the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent, to change her thinking of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. This is punitive suffering. And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent, change their thinking of her ways. I will strike her followers dead, sin unto death. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts. The living and true God is always searching our hearts. I am the one who searches the hearts and the emotions, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. The living and true God is constantly searching your hearts. All right. The essence of the biblical heart. The biblical heart has several parts to it. The essence of the biblical heart includes the frame of reference. It includes a memory center. It includes vocabulary storage, categorical doctrinal storage. It includes a conscience. It includes a momentum department. The momentum department is the department of spiritual growth. It includes the wisdom department, or the launching pad for applying the absolute truth of God's Word to your life in any situation. And it includes the subconscious mind. So the frame of reference, the memory center, vocabulary storage, categorical storage, a conscience, the momentum department, department of spiritual growth, the wisdom department, or launching pad to apply the absolute truth of God's Word to your life, and the subconscious mind. Now that brings us to negative functions of the heart. Negative functions of the heart. One, the heart can reject Bible teaching. The heart can reject Bible teaching. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5, starting at verse 11. Now this is negative functions of the heart. So we're looking at a believer who is making bad decisions in his life. He's living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. He is living in entering into reversionism. And so, the Bible says, at the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, and you will say, how I hated discipline. And the word discipline there is instruction from the Word of God. Instruction from the Word of God that disciplined you that went right in and pierced your soul. How I hated discipline, instruction from the Word of God. How my heart spurned correction, spurned reproof. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin. Not only self-induced misery, but warning, intensive discipline, and close to dying discipline in the midst of the whole assembly. You see, the heart that is negative to Bible doctrine or the teaching of God's truth refuses to concentrate. When you don't like what you hear, then you are unteachable and a candidate for reversionism and cosmic system function. Point two, the heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and conspiracy. The heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and conspiracy. You don't have to go too far. We were just in Proverbs 5. Now look over at Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll start at verse 12. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth. What is a corrupt mouth? That's sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I had a mother that had some naphtha brown soap in a bar. And then there were a lot of kids in our neighborhood, and I heard a few words I didn't even know what they were. At least that's my story. And so I came in and I said the word in front of my mother. She took me, grabbed my ear, took me into the bathroom, took that brown bar of naphtha, I never want to hear you say that again. I sure didn't either. That was enough. So that's not what this is talking about. I've said those words in here when I've been teaching, so that's not it. These are sins of the tongue. Corrupt mouth are sins of the tongue. Judging, slandering, maligning, gossiping. Who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers. Who plots evil with deceit in his heart. Where does this evil take place and deception take place? In his heart. He always stirs up dissension. He is always causing trouble. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, even seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. A lying tongue, that's sins of the tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, that's murder. A heart that devises wicked schemes, strategies. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up strife, dissension among the brethren, fellow believers. And how do you do that? By gossiping, maligning, slandering, judging fellow believers. These are the things the Lord hates. And this is what goes on in most of Christianity today. This is what goes on in fundamentalism. self-righteous, arrogant believers get together and judge, slander, malign other believers. That's all they do. And they think they're great believers. They're not. They are reversionists, and these are abominations that the Lord absolutely hates. Don't ever, life is too short to get involved in mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. So the heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and conspiracy, Proverbs 6, 12 to 19. 3. The woman, we don't want to leave you ladies out, but you don't fall into this category. If you do, don't stand up and say, I fall into this category. The woman uses heart thinking to entice the male for personal gain without love. Love has nothing to do with it. And we have this with the prostitute. The heart of the prostitute is involved here. Proverbs, now just go over one more chapter. Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, verse 10. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. Now go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her. That's very important. Want to escape. Well, let's look at this again. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chained. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner, she will ensnare. Now, the ladies often do a lot of thinking, but not necessarily objective, doctrinal, professional, or academic thinking. It is thinking used to bring attention to herself in whatever way she wants attention. This is thinking in terms of snares, traps, and in her hands she has chains. She will be very flattering and conniving. And once she catches you because of your own arrogance, your arrogance will chain you to her. One thing that will destroy wisdom and the ability to look at life from the divine viewpoint is that dumb, arrogant male. That dumb, arrogant male succumbing to the flattery of a woman. And that woman will use him for her own advancement or pleasure, but there's no love at all involved. So the woman uses hard thinking to entice the male for personal gain without love. Proverbs 7:10, Ecclesiastes 7:26. 4. The heart suffers disappointment from broken promises. The heart suffers disappointment from broken promises. Turn over to Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The heart is the source of frustrations. Frustration is a thought. The heart is the environment for mental attitude sins. The Lord hates mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. They're an abomination to Him. The heart is the environment for mental attitude sins. We'll go through some of them that relate to the heart. First of all, the mental attitude sin of hate. The mental attitude sin of hate. Turn over to 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel 6:16. David was coming back into Jerusalem, bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, and he was dancing, and his wife Michelle was looking out the window. 2 Samuel 6:16. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michelle, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him, hated him in her heart. Where does that take place? In the heart. So the mental attitude sin of hate, 2 Samuel 6:16. Another mental attitude sin directly related with the heart, bitterness. Turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:10. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Bitterness. Proverbs 14:10. Bitterness is one of the greatest of all sins of arrogance. It infiltrates the heart and neutralizes whatever doctrine is there. Third mental attitude sin associated with the heart, arrogance. Turn over to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 4. Haughty eyes and an arrogant heart, the lamp of the reversionists, are sin. In other words, once you have arrogance in your heart, whatever its manifestation, this becomes your lamp for your life, and it sets aside all doctrine. Turn over to Obadiah. You say, what chapter? The only chapter. Obadiah. Obadiah, verses 3 and 4. Obadiah verse 3, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Obadiah verses 3 and 4. Arrogance deceives you and causes you to make a fool of yourself. Fourth mental attitude, sin associated with the heart, worry. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Worry. Worry is a mental attitude sin. All his days, verse 23, all his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his heart does not rest. Worry. Worry. The mental attitude sin of worry. This too is meaningless. And then another one is the mental attitude sin of deceit. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Turn over to Jeremiah 17, 9. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So the heart is the environment for mental attitude sins. Hate, 2 Samuel 6:16. Bitterness, Proverbs 14:10. Arrogance, Proverbs 21:4. Obadiah 3 and 4. Worry, Ecclesiastes 2:23. Deceitfulness, Jeremiah 17:9. 6. Revolution and insubordination are described as being a part of the thinking of the heart. Revolution and insubordination are described as being a part of the thinking of the heart. Turn over to 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15, and this revolution is the Absalom revolution. A revolution started by David's own son, Absalom, started a revolution to overthrow his father, King David. And this was all a part of his function of his heart. He's a believer. He's a reversionist. He died the sin unto death. He did form a revolution, got many of the people in Israel to join it, drove his father from the palace, but the Lord protected David, and Absalom died the sin unto death. 2 Samuel 15, verse 1. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." And then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case could come to me, and I would see that he gets justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him. Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. If any guy kissed me, I'd tell you, that'd be the end of the deal right there. Would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. This is revolution. Revolution, conspiracy, insubordination. Also, Jeremiah 5:23. Turn over to Jeremiah 5:23. Jeremiah 5:23. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone astray. 7. Hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart. Hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart. That is, you can say one thing, but be thinking something totally the opposite. That's hypocrisy. You're thinking one thing, but you say another thing. Hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart. Turn over to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. See, I know what God's thinking is. Here's what God's thinking is. It's right here, the mind of Christ. I have God's thinking. He has given us His thinking. I know exactly what God's thinking is. The problem with people is I don't know what their thinking is. And they just because they say something doesn't mean anything. They could be lying, deceiving, hypocrisy. They could say, I love you, and they hate me. So this is what we have here, Psalm 55:21. His speech is smooth as butter, and yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil. Yet they are drawn swords. See, that's hypocrisy. I've been here 45 years, and I've had some people come back and say, "Oh, you are really great Bible teacher," and then those same people stab me in the back. So when anybody says that to me, it just goes in one ear, out the other ear. I take it with a grain of salt. I can't see your soul and what you're really thinking, but I know exactly what God is thinking. So hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart, for you can think one thing and say something totally the opposite. 8. Superficial gaiety does not indicate the true state of the individual's heart. Superficial gaiety does not indicate the true state of the individual's heart. Turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. So superficial gaiety does not indicate the true state of the individual's heart. 9. Reversionism is described in terms of the heart. Jeremiah 17:5 and 9. Psalm 119, verse 70. Well, we saw Jeremiah 17:9. Let's go ahead and turn over to Jeremiah 17 again. Jeremiah 17. Reversionism is described in terms of the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Or as Pastor Breckley used to say, thus saith the Lord. And then he pounded the pulpit. And his face would be beet red. His eyes blue. His hair white. Red, white, and blue. We all stood up and sang the national anthem when he... Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in man. You flunk people testing, who depends on people for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And then Psalm 119, verse 70. Psalm 119, verse 70. Psalm 119, verse 70. Their hearts are calloused, scar-tissued. Scar tissue of the heart. Their hearts are callous, scar tissued, and unfeeling. But I delight in your law, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the heart is related to any kind of failure in life. In other words, the real you is what you think. Your life is not necessarily what others see overtly, because it may reflect good or bad thoughts, right or wrong priorities. Psalm 10 reveals the human viewpoint thinking of the reversionist related to the heart. Turn over to Psalm 10, the 10th Psalm. Psalm 10. Let's start at verse 2. In his arrogance, the reversionist hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes, the strategies that he devises. He boasts of the lusts of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his arrogance, the reversionist does not seek the Lord. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is arrogant. He is arrogant. The word haughty here. He is arrogant, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats, sins of the tongue. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait for, like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. And he says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the reversionist revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the reversionist and the evil man. Call him to account for his reversionism that would not be found out. And then 10, the thinking of the atheist is related to the heart. The thinking of the atheist is related to the heart. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. We have a lot of fools in the United States of America and around the world today. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Atheists, they are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. False teachers communicate false doctrine from the deceit of their heart. False teachers communicate false doctrine from the deceit of their heart. Jeremiah 14, 14. Jeremiah 14, 14. Then the Lord said to me, to Jeremiah, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and deception of their own hearts. False teachers communicate false doctrine from the deceit of their hearts. 12, the heart is the place where people think they are superior to others. And we'll close with this tonight. The heart is the place where people think they are superior to others. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I told you the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. It's all great. Luke chapter 9. All right, Luke chapter 9, verse 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. I am the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he's God, took a little child and had him stand beside him. And then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. Welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest. All right. We have a few more things on the heart. We ran out of time. We'll pick it up again next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our heart. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.